Morning. Praise the good Lord. Good to be in the house of God on this February the 24th, Sunday morning. Good to be in the family of God.
Amen.
Praise God. Good to know that your sins are in the blood, your name's in the book. Praise God, you got a better place to go. You know, I get caught up down there like everybody else. Get a little scared like everybody else. But I'm glad, praise God, there are good things promised to us, exceeding great,
amen,
precious promises.
That's right.
That are yet to be seen, yet to understand or comprehend. I don't think we have words to describe heaven. I think it's something you'll have to experience instead of explain. Paul said, "The eye has not seen, the ear has never heard, never entered in the heart of men the things that God has prepared for those that love Him." And look to His appearance. I guess we'll just have to wait and see Him. Amen.
Amen.
We last Sunday, we were in Proverbs chapter 14, and we stopped on verse 30. And that verse says, "A sound heart is the life of the flesh, but envy is the rottenness of the bones." And I went and visited a man this week, a good friend of mine. I grew up with him, and his heart's failing him. And that verse says, "A sound heart is the life of the flesh." He's on oxygen. He's taking all kinds of pills and medicine trying to help him with his... He told me, he said, "Hey, I've got congestive heart failure. Fluid's building up." They're having to draw fluid out of his body to help his heart. But, you know, I guess every one of us just takes every heartbeat for granted.
Amen.
But a sound heart is the life of the flesh. The heart does more than pump your blood. He said, "I'm getting short of breath."
Yes.
And that's one of the symptoms of your heart failure, is you're short of breath. The other thing is, he's talking about being weak. And, you know, he just didn't feel good. And that sound heart is the life of the flesh. But the latter part of that, but envy, the rottenness of the bones. I think it may be in Ecclesiastes that says jealousy's more cruel than the grave. And jealousy's what got Joseph sold into slavery, got him thrown in a pit, got him put in prison. And jealousy, it'll bring reproach on you. There'll be people, and they'll say all manner of good about you to your face, but behind your back, it may not be the same. They may be a little jealous of you. And envy is a rottenness of the bones. Verse 31, I preached last Sunday on the blessing of poor. And verse 31 says, "He that oppresseth the poor reproacheth his maker." God loves poor people. As a matter of fact, He became poor for our sakes. And, you know, He's made provisions for poor people.
Mm-hmm.
And he's not, I believe it was Zacchaeus that got saved. And he said, "Lord, half of my goods I give to the poor." And the Lord's put that in a lot of people's hearts. They've helped a lot of poor people out. They've done a lot of good on the pretense of poor. And he that oppresseth the poor reproaches his maker. There's a scripture just come to my mind as I was reading that, and I like it on that fashion. Don't bother me a bit. But in James, the Bible talks about weeping how, you rich men. James chapter 5. Donnie was asking me on the way over here about that Michael Bloomberg, and I said he's worth $60 billion. And nobody can know what kind of president that he'll make, but I just wonder how he got that $60 billion. I don't have no dog in that fight. And I know one thing, I ain't got $60 billion. I've always tried to do everything right on the level, if you know what I mean. But God says here in James chapter 5, "Go to now, ye rich men, weep and howl for your miseries that shall come upon you. Your riches are corrupted, and your garments are moth-eaten. Your gold and silver is cankered, and the rust of them shall be a witness against you." You know, Jesus said, what would it profit a man if he should gain the whole world and lose his soul? And here's people that have... There was a man, I think it was in Nevada. It's barely on my mind. Real scant, the memory. But he passed away. And no one knew that he was even dead. Morning, Sister Sharon. No one knew that he was even dead for something like 6 months. He had no near kin. He only had a distant cousin that they notified her about his death, and she inherited his wealth. But in his basement, there was so much gold, they had to use wheelbarrows to haul the gold out. And in face value only, not the worth of gold, just in face value only, it's something like $6 million worth of gold. He had money in banks. He had stocks. He had this real nice ranch and everything. But his neighbors didn't even check on him. His family didn't even check on him. He lived the life of a hermit. What good, what I'm trying to say is, what good did all that gold do him?
Right.
I know what I do if I had a little bit of gold. I go buy me something, amen. They read my will, it'll say, being a sound mind and body, I spent it all, amen. Ain't nothing to fight over.
Right.
You know, I've always said this, and it's got somewhat of truth to it. Some people have money, and some people money have them. And it don't benefit them. They have it, it's kind of like a prison. They live in fear that somebody's going to steal it.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Well, anyway, God says, I'm in James chapter 5, verse 3, and he's talking to rich men. He says, your gold and silver is cankered, and the rust of them shall be a witness against you, and ye shall eat your flesh as it were fire. You have heaped up treasure together for the last days. I heard a man yesterday, and he said, well, we know the last days are upon us. I said, why is that? He said, well, right now, Trump's president. He said, if he gets beat in November, it'd be the sign of the last Trump. And I said, well, hey, man.
<laughs> <laughs>
The sound of the last Trump. Well, it's kind of a joke, but it's, you know, I'm kind of hoping Trump will get another turn. But anyway, I don't want to get too political here today. He said, ye have heaped treasure together for the last days. That's one thing rich people do. You notice that that verse we read there in Proverbs chapter 14 about envy is the rottenness of the bones. Envy, not only of someone's achievements, but also the envy of wanting something that belongs to someone else. If the word for that's covet, thou shalt not covet. Saul said, I've not known sin but by the law. For the law had said, thou shalt not covet. And you can covet someone else's success. I thought it kind of funny that when they had the Democrat debate, that they was all giving Bloomberg down the road about his wealth. If I'd been Bloomberg, and I'm not, but it would have been a perfect opportunity to have stopped and said, oh, by the way, how poor are you anyway? Would you care to give details on just how poor you are?
Yeah.
You want to advocate for the poor, and you're multi-millionaires, and you're come against me because I'm a billionaire. I mean, they really didn't have much rocks they could throw, and he let them throw them anyway.
Yeah.
Well, anyway, let me get back here. You have heaped treasure together for the last days. I read all of that to get to this right here. You see, we was on verse 31 of Proverbs 14. He that oppresseth the poor reproacheth his maker. Now, I was really wanting to read just this one verse, but it was important to read those others. God says to these rich men, verse 4, behold the hire of the laborers who have reaped down your fields, which is of you, kept back by fraud. I work at a place right now, they pay you every 2 weeks. You better believe it. It puts people in a bind.
Yeah.
it puts the employer to an advantage.
Right.
Behold, the hire of the laborers who have reaped down your fields, which is of you, kept back by fraud, cry the poor. When they cry, I just want you to know God hears the cries of the poor.
Yes, He does.
He said, and the cries of them which have reaped are entered into the ears of the Lord of Sabbath. He says, ye have lived in pleasure on the earth and been wanton. Ye have nourished your hearts as in the day of slaughter. You have condemned and killed the just, and he doeth not resist you. Now that's a lot. But God says, he that oppresseth the poor reproacheth his maker. Did you notice the M on maker is capitalized? That's a reason for that.
Yep.
He wants you to know who he's talking about. Not his mom, his dad. But the Creator. It's capitalized. The one that made all things. Without Him was not anything made that was made. The maker of everything. It oppresses the poor and reproach is the Lord. It reproaches the Creator by doing so. You know, rich people think they got an advantage over poor. And there is a lot of truth to that. They know the ropes. They know the strings. They know how. You ever heard of the term compound interest?
Yeah.
Where you buy a house for $80,000 and you get a 30-year loan, and the time you pay it, it's like $300,000. You get what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Then you got these high interest places. They charge you 50% or more. He that oppresseth the poor reproacheth his maker. Why would that be, Brother Eddie? Well, everything God's free.
That's right.
Mm-hmm. I'm surprised they're not charging us for air that we breathe.
Yes.
They would if they could.
I get a water bill.
That's right.
I get an electric bill. They turned my son's water off this week. I noticed I got off work and I got a phone call from him at 1:30. And I get off work at 1:45, and I thought, that's strange. I called him, and he said, Dad, they turned my water off. How do I turn it on? I said, you better not turn it on. He said, I done paid the bill, but I want to take a shower. I said, I'll be right by there.
Yeah.
So since he paid the bill, we went out there and raised the lid on that water meter. I showed him how to turn his water on.
Yeah.
But I want you to know, they don't have any mercy. They just come turn your electric off. They turn your water off. Then they got a fee for turning it back on.
Yeah.
They got a penalty that they charge you for being late. Yeah. I just want you to know, poor, they struggle. But I want you to know, they're the apple of the eye of God. Poor Amen. People depend more upon the Lord.
Amen.
They call upon Him in their troubles. They pray to Him. And I want you to know, they're humble and they're thankful Amen. For everything that God gives them.
Amen.
And I want you to know, everything of God is free. Amen.
Amen.
I know this is teaching, but I had to get that in there. He that oppresses the poor, boy, America's guilty right there. You know the wealth of this country? If America wanted to, there'd be no poor in America. If it wanted to.
That's right.
There'd be no people on the streets.
No.
There'd be nobody. There would be without. There's enough wealth in this country, not just in America. There's enough wealth in this country to feed the whole world 100 million times over. God said, he that oppresseth the poor reproaches his maker. Mm-hmm. You see, it shouldn't be that way. It don't have to be that way. And God here says in this one verse right here, he says, you better be careful, buddy.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Jesus talked about those in the days of Sodom and Gomorrah
yeah.
would rise up in the judgment. Those at Nineveh, that's right, I'm sorry. The men of Sodom and Gomorrah would also rise up. But the men of Nineveh, he said, they repented at the preaching of Jonah.
Right.
And there's going to be a lot of judgment. There's going to be a lot of people that are going to fit this category right here that reproached their own maker, and they wanted more gold than they did God. And I want you to know, they wanted more government than they did God. I can't get off this verse. Y'all bear with me. I'm so sorry. I didn't realize this verse had that much in it.
Yeah.
He that oppresses the poor, man, that's bringing reproach upon Jesus. That's bringing reproach upon the Lord.
Yes, it is.
I never really thought about that. Matter of fact, I didn't realize I was going to get this much out of this verse. But he that honoreth his maker hath mercy on the poor. That can be one way or the other. I'm on probably social media more than I should. I'm on the internet probably more than I should, but how can I put this? I don't want to be asleep at the wheel.
No.
I know things are going to happen. There's some things I can't do anything about, but I'm a watchman. And I'm supposed to watch. I'm supposed to inform. I'm supposed to warn. I'm supposed to give updates. And by watching all of this, I can somehow bring across things that are going on. I was telling Donnie a little bit about some of the things going on in our country that I'm going to be preaching about tonight over at Bethel. Without being a watchman, you'd never know these things. But on the internet, I've noticed some of these billionaires, Brother Donnie, they give every bit of their wealth away. Every bit of it. I think last Sunday about a man sitting at a table and his waitress was weeping.
Yeah.
He said, "What's the matter?" He said, "I've got troubles." When he got there, he left a blank check on the table and he'd signed it. Yeah. He said, "Take this check, take care of your troubles." And she kind of made light of it, kind of scoffed it like, "Yeah, your dreams." She went to the bank and said, "How good is this check?" They said, "Put as many zeros on as you want."
Wow.
See what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
But he was touched by this woman's struggles. And he had the means to do something about it. Remind me a lot of the Good Samaritan. You know, one went this way, one went that way, one went straight to him. And here he is, half dead. Binds up his wounds, pours in the oil and wine, puts him on his own beast, takes him to the inn, said, "Take care of him, put some money down." And he said, "When I come back, if he owes any more, I'll pay it."
Mm-hmm.
Well, that's what we all should strive to do, but we don't all do it. But the Bible here tells us plainly that he that have mercy on the poor honors our Maker.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Let this sink in a minute. Donnie, he worked with her, and I'll be as discreet as I can here, but he worked with a lady, and she was struggling. And he took money out of his pocket, gave to her.
Yeah.
And she told him she'd pay him back, and it really, she didn't have the means to pay him back. You know what? He ain't mad about it.
No.
I told him, I said, "Brother, I'm more proud of you than anything I've ever heard you done." I mean, I commended him. I said, that's wonderful. But rich people, it eats them. And I'll get them. I'll show them. Oh, they've had it now to the full extent of the law. I'll prosecute them.
Yeah.
You see what I mean? There's a difference between those that's got money and those, you know, that money don't got them.
That's right.
He freely gave. He honored you. He honored your Maker.
Amen.
He put it in your hand.
Amen, brother.
It was yours. Do whatever you want to do with it.
Amen, brother.
You know what he did? She needed it. He gave it to her.
That's right.
He done right.
Right.
I'm sure she meant every word of it when she said, "I'll pay you back." But it wasn't where she could. That's what we got to understand.
That's right.
We don't know the extent of the poverty. Sometimes in deep poverty, all you can do is, "I'll try. I will." And they can't. But look, she wanted to. She just couldn't. He that honoreth his Maker hath mercy on the floor. Boy, that one verse right there. I had no idea that verse was going to have such weight to it. I looked over this a little bit. I didn't really dwell on this right here like I should have. We got a problem in America right now. And of course, Bernie Sanders, you know, he's wanting to, you know, slice the pie up into equal proportions. I'll be honest with you, and this is as frank and honest as I can be. We don't need socialism. We don't need communism. We just need to do a little bit better with capitalism. And, you know, no one should have 3/4 of the pie. No one should have 7/8 of the pie. No one should have 1/2 of the pie. We ought to, you know, a lot of these places are prone to help people. Matter of fact, President Trump, he donates his whole wages as president to charity.
Right.
A lot of people are charity minded. A lot of people, you know, they strive to help people that are struggling. And I say that in a nice way, but there's others that they try to take advantage of poor people. I won't call out any names, but I think you can fill in the blanks. And they say they're going to help. Go see what kind of help they did.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah. All right, let's move on. The wicked is driven away in his wickedness. Look at Daniel chapter 4. I thought about that this morning when I was looking at that verse. And Nebuchadnezzar, he had a dream. And you know, Daniel interpreted the dream.
Yeah.
And then he was warned. And you know, he took that warning for a little while. And then he went on a little further in verse 30 of Daniel chapter 4. And the king spake and said, "Is this not great Babylon that I have built for the house of the kingdom by the might of my power and for the honor of my majesty?" While the word was in the king's mouth, there fell a voice from heaven saying, "O King Nebuchadnezzar, to thee it's spoken, the kingdom is departed from thee." Look at verse 32. "And they shall drive thee from men." The wicked is driven away in his wickedness. He was given warning.
Yeah.
After warning. Matter of fact, Daniel told him exactly what was going to happen if he didn't humble himself. Let me go a little further in that. Let me not just leave it right there. Let's go to the last verse of Daniel chapter 4. "Now I never," after he eat grass, after his nails grew and his hair grew,
right,
and after his sanity came back to him, and I want you to know, buddy, he learned the hard way. He lifted up his eyes and his understanding returned to him, verse 34, "And I blessed the Most High and praised and honored Him that liveth forever, whose dominion is an everlasting dominion, and His kingdom is from generation to generation, and inhabitants of the earth are reputed as nothing, and He doeth according to His will in the army of heaven among the inhabitants of the earth. None can stay His hand, nor say unto Him, What doest thou? At the same time my reason returned unto me, and for the glory of my kingdom, mine honor, my brightness returned unto me, and my counselors and my lords saw unto me, and I was established in my kingdom, and excellent majesty was added unto me."
Yeah.
Look here, verse 37. "Now I, Nebuchadnezzar, praise and extol and honor the King of heaven, all whose works are truth, and His ways judgment. And those that walk in pride, He is able to amaze."
Yeah.
This year is the 50th anniversary of gay pride.
Mm-hmm.
I found that out by taking my daughter to the doctor. While I'm waiting on her, I looked at a magazine lay right next to me, and it said 50-year anniversary of gay pride. So there's a big long rainbow. They're underneath it trying to hold it up and all of that. Going down the street, it looked like it went for miles. I just want you to know, those that walk in pride, He's able to abase. But the wicked is driven away in his wickedness, but the righteous have hope in his death. You know, Stephen was stoned. I wasn't really thinking about this. Morning, Sister Bonnie. I wasn't thinking about this, but like I said, this stuff's coming to my mind faster than I can spit it out. But in Acts chapter 7, Stephen's being stoned, and all he's being stoned for is telling the truth.
Yeah.
But notice it says, but the righteous have hope in his death. So he's being stoned to death. And in Acts chapter 7, and as they're stoning Stephen, he's calling upon God, verse 59 of Acts 7, saying, Lord Jesus, receive my spirit. He had some hope there.
Yeah.
I mean, they're killing him. They done. Look here at verse 57. I'll tell you what, let's back up verse 54. When he preached these things that he preached, and it's just truth, when they heard these things, they were cut to the heart. That had been a good time to repent. But instead of repenting, they gnashed on him with their teeth. But he, being full of the Holy Ghost, looked up steadfastly unto heaven. Now they're gnashing on him with their teeth, and he's just looking up.
Yeah.
And saw the glory of God, and Jesus standing on the right hand of God, and said, Behold, I see the heavens opened, and the Son of Man standing on the right hand of God. Then they cried out with a loud voice, and stopped their ears, and ran upon him with one accord, and cast him out of the city, and stoned him. And the witnesses laid down their clothes at a young man's feet, whose name was Saul. And as they stoned Stephen, he's calling upon God, saying, Lord Jesus, receive my spirit. And he kneeled down and cried with a loud voice, Lord, lay not this sin to their charge. And when he had said this, did it say he died?
Nope.
He fell asleep.
Yeah.
Now why does it say he fell asleep? Anybody know? In 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, for we believe, verse 14, that Jesus died and rose again, and I do, even so them also which what?
Sleep.
Which sleep in Jesus will God bring with him.
That's right.
For this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain until the coming of the Lord shall not prevent them which are asleep. For the Lord Himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the... And you missed that on this, Sister Bonnie. And with the trump of God, we was talking about the sound of the last trump, talking about Trump didn't get elected in November this year, that it'd be the coming of the Lord. It'd be, I heard that yesterday, kind of a joke. But anyway, with the sound of the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. One preacher... he was at a church and he said, I just want y'all to know I'm pretty jealous of y'all because the dead in Christ are going to rise first. And he said, y'all the deadest bunch I've ever been around. But anyway, he said, then we which are alive and remain shall be caught together. Somebody said, y'all believe in that rapture? Right there it is. Look at the word rapture. It'll say caught up. Caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And so shall we ever be with the Lord. Wherefore comfort one another with these words. That's a comfort to me to know that one day, praise God, I'm going to get out of here. I'm graduating with honors. I didn't make good grades in school. All my teachers passed me because they just don't want to see me another year. I mean, they said, yeah, you didn't make the grades, but I'm definitely passed you. I'm having up there here with you. I raised my hand and she acted like I didn't have my hand up. And I'm going, and finally she said, okay, what is it? And she regretted giving me that opportunity. Well, but the righteous have hope in his death. Paul said, if we have hope in this life only, in Christ Jesus, we'd be of all men most miserable. That's in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 19. If in this life only we have hope in Christ, we are of all men most miserable. It says, but the righteous have hope in his death. The psalmist said, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He said, Lord, my shepherd, I shall not want. He leadeth me to green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restored my soul. I missed part of that. Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He leadeth me to green pastures.
He made me lie down
in green pastures. Thank you. Lead me beside the still waters. He restored my soul. Thank you, Brother Ed.
Yeah.
And it goes on to say, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death,
I shall fear no evil.
It don't say he's without hope. He said, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, he said, I'll fear no evil. Why not? He got hope, amen.
That's right.
He said, I got hope in the valley of the shadow of death. For thou with me, thy rod and thy staff, they cover me. He got hope in the valley.
Amen.
He said, thou preparest a table for me in the presence of my enemies.
Yes.
Thou anointest my head with oil. My cup runneth over.
Amen.
Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. And I shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever. I want you to know the righteous have hope.
Yes, we do.
Mm-hmm. Bible says vain is the hope of the hypocrite. I'm glad I got hope, amen. I got a hope that's an anchor to my soul, both sure and steadfast.
Amen.
The righteous have hope in his death. Man, oh man, oh man. We've just been through three verses. Verse 33. Wisdom resteth in the heart of him that hath understanding, but that which is in the midst of fools is made known. Wisdom resteth in the heart. You know what? The psalmist said, thy word have I hid in my heart, that I might not sin against thee. The heart's a good place to keep things.
Amen.
Mary kept all the sayings of the angel. They come to her, Gabriel, that told her about she had conceived, be with child. The Bible said she kept all them sayings in her heart. That's a good place to keep things.
That's right.
I'll tell you what, buddy, that heart can be a treasure house, or it can be full of deceitfulness, like Jeremiah talks about there. But it can also, a good man, out of a good treasure of the heart, bring forth good things. Wisdom resteth in the heart of him that hath understanding. But that which is in the midst of fools is made known. Fools, they just don't get it. I correspond with a lot of people on the internet. Why do you do it, Brother Eddie? Well, I'm not wasting my time on trying to plant seed.
Yeah.
Now, I've noticed by response of some of them, that seed has prevailed. I've noticed some of them, they're not as sarcastic as before. You see, the entrance of God's Word, it giveth light. Mm-hmm. And they were in darkness, and that little bit of light crept in. And they're not as adamant as they were before. Matter of fact, they're almost like King Agrippa, almost. Thou persuadest me to be a Christian.
Yeah.
Well, in some of those conversations, it's hard to bear. But some of them, they're just fools. They're fools in their own heart.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Matter of fact, I'm going to be preaching on some of those lies today of some of those conversations. Terrible. And, you know, they want to argue.
Yeah.
And they want to deny facts. They want to somehow draw away rather than accept anything other than their own opinion, and they fall into what the latter part of this verse right here says.
That's right.
That which is in the midst of fools is made known. They show just how foolish they are. You remember what God told that fool in Luke chapter 12? He said, thou fool, this night thy soul should be required. He had made plans, Bonnie. He made plans to live, but he didn't make plans to die.
That's right.
He said, soul, thou hast much goods, laid up for many years. Thou shalt say, eat, drink, and be merry. You know what? He didn't eat, drink, and be merry. God said, whose shall your goods be? You're not going to be here in the morning. You're dying tonight. Your soul's going to be required of you tonight. A lot of people fill their head tonight just like him. Mm-hmm. They don't take no thought about tomorrow. They don't think about today. They forgot about yesterday and all of those other days. You know, Jezebel, God said, I gave her space to repent. And it went on to say she repented not. That which is in the midst of fools is made known. She was a fool, Jezebel was. God made it known that she didn't repent. God made it known that man in Luke 12 didn't repent. Verse 34, and I may spend a little while on this. Righteousness exalteth a nation, but sin is a reproach to any people.
Yes.
Now, I love my country, America. I'm proud to be an American. And you know what? On my money, it still says, in God we trust.
Yeah.
I think it's just only a word only.
Yeah.
But it's still there. I'm glad it's there. They're putting it back in the schools.
Yeah.
They got it on school walls, in God we trust. They got it on police cars, in God we trust. It's made the atheist, liberal, I guess you call them socialists, communists mad. And you know, Paul said the law is good if a man uses it lawfully.
Mm-hmm.
We got to have laws.
Right.
How about if I take the law and I say, that's unconstitutional?
Yeah.
Well, if I say something's unconstitutional, something's got to give.
Mm-hmm.
So the law is good, Carolyn, if laws use wise.
Right.
So let's just take, for instance, we got a constitution in the United States of America. And we're not, you know, some of these people are pretty smart. Let's just say they say that's unconstitutional. I remember one time a policeman was, I seen this on TV, a policeman was arresting a man. And as he's arresting this man, Bonnie, this man says, I know my rights, and it scared that policeman, took his hands off him.
Mm-hmm.
Now look, when you break the law,
you don't have any rights.
You see what I mean?
When
you break the law, this policeman's a what? Law enforcer.
That's right.
So for him to enforce the law, this man ain't got no rights.
That's
he has right to remain silent.
That's it.
Anything you say can and will be used you against you in case of law. Miranda, she said, Brother, you can remember my name like this. Miranda Rice. I remember her name. I struggled with her, but I got it now. But they got that Miranda Rice. The right to remain silent. Most of them need to use it, too.
Yes.
But when that policeman took his hands off this man because this man said, I know my rights, you see, that makes the law of none effect.
Right.
It makes it void. We have to have laws. When someone jumps up and says that's unconstitutional, I want to know how and why. Because see, Brother Jerry, when he makes the Constitution the reason for being against the law, then I'm going to lose.
Mm-hmm.
See, I'm living in accordance with the Constitution.
Right.
Life, liberty, pursuit of happiness, I understand all that. But I also understand we got laws. Righteousness exalts a nation. But sin's a reproach to any people. How can you enforce the law without using the law for that very reason to keep peace? Paul mentioned, I believe, is Romans chapter 12, verse 18. He said, as much as in you, live peaceably with all men.
Yes.
He said, if it be possible, as much as life in you, live peace with all men. It's not always possible, but the law is there to make peace.
That's right.
Without the law, there'd be no peace.
Right.
When I was in school, I got more than one whooping. They're passing law right now.
You can't even touch them.
Nope. Right.
Can't punish them.
They're passing law right now. The sex education will be taught in every school grade level. You see what I mean?
Yes, Lord.
Oh, righteousness exalts a nation. It's good. You know, I like that cartoon, Dudley Do Right. I might not ever be able to be a Dudley Do Right, but I want to be a Dudley Do Right. I want to do right.
Yeah.
Bible said we're to live righteously, godly, and soberly in this present world.
Yeah.
righteousness, it exalts a nation. But sin reaches up to heaven. Judgment comes down. You know they got locusts right now in Saudi Arabia?
Yes.
A plague of locusts going on right now. Somebody said it's end time. Might be. I'm good to go.
Yeah, that's right.
Right to have hope. You know what I mean? Hey! If God be for us, who can be against us?
That's right.
I got those special privileges thanks to Calvary. And I have to admit, buddy, I'm glad there's a clause in there. That clause is I belong to Him. I'm not my own.
That's right.
Hey, He bought, paid me, paid me. Amen. I know sin like to lay claim. I know the devil like to lay claim, and he got plenty of ground to stand on. But I've got a good lawyer. I got a Jewish lawyer who said, "My children, I would that you sin not, but if you do, we got an advocate with the Father, Lord Jesus Christ."
Right.
Got a good lawyer.
Amen.
He ain't never lost a case. He's friend with the judge, amen.
Amen.
But see, our country, we're out of kilter right now. When I say we're out of kilter, here's why. They're taking these laws and they're tilting them just a little bit. They're calling things different names now. They're twisting things. And how can I put this? Making it seem like the devil, it's not that bad. See what I mean?
Yeah.
I mean leaven. A little leaven. Leaven's a whole lot. As Lot was being drugged out of Sodom by the angels that were sent, do you know what he said? He said, "Can I go to this city? It's a little one." See, he somehow thought it's not as bad as where I was. He still had an appetite for the environment where he was at. But you know what? When that fire started falling, he didn't even want that little one. He went to a cave.
Yeah.
Went inside that cave and still made a mess of things. I'm just telling you, righteousness exalts a nation. This is one nation that could be and used to be the epitome or the beacon or the ensign of all the other nations. America used to stand 10 feet tall for God. Now, I just had a birthday this week. To some of you, I'm young. To others of you, I'm old. But I turned 66 this week. Here's why I said that. I can remember back when it was right.
Mm-hmm.
Before it started sliding.
Yep.
Before that slippery slope came in. Now, I just want to tell you right now, we're in trouble in America.
Yes, we are.
Just over this one verse right here. We're in trouble, and it's the worst kind of trouble we could be in. It's in trouble with God. This verse says, righteousness exalteth a nation, but sin is a reproach to any people. Let's go over here to Proverbs 29 real quick. Look at verse 2. Now, righteousness. How do you get righteousness in a nation? Look here, verse 2 of Proverbs 29. When the righteous are in authority, that's important.
Yes, it is.
Buddy, I'll tell you right now. I was telling Donnie on the way up here. Does anybody remember Kim Davis? 2015 refused to put her name on the same-sex marriage license. Now, there's more to that than you probably know. You see, Governor Steve Beshear had passed a law making it mandatory that all county clerks sign same couple marriage license. So she broke the law. What would you do?
I didn't think she did.
See what I mean?
She didn't break God's law.
See what I mean? She was in this predicament. I can't do it.
Did you know $222,000? This will hit home with you here, man. Was awarded the same-sex couple for emotional trauma. Listen, I ain't done. To be paid by Kentucky taxpayers.
Oh, yeah. Lord.
Yeah.
Their legal representation is paid for by you and me. You get what I mean?
Yeah.
When the righteous are in authority, the people rejoice. That didn't make my day. I didn't know that we had to pay that $222,000, Danny, from Kentucky. For the legal fees of these that went up against Kim Davis. You see what I mean? They're not even using their own money. They went up against her and they claimed they had the right to have a marriage license. She saw it not right, and rightly so, she was right. We picked up the bill, Jerry.
You're right.
That's what I think.
Are y'all getting this?
Yeah.
Now look, this wasn't the United States, this was Kentucky.
Right.
That picked up this bill. That bothers me.
Mm-hmm.
See what I mean?
Yeah.
So when the righteous are in authority, the people rejoice. But when the wicked bear rule, the people mourn. I didn't like that. It didn't make my day. Mm-hmm. I tell you, we're in trouble.
Yeah.
Worst kind of trouble we could be in.
Yeah.
Now, you may not pay a lot of attention to politics, but I would strongly urge you to do it this year. The reason I'm saying that is this right here. I was telling Donnie on the way up here. Has anybody ever heard of Agenda 21? Got a clue what it's for? Agenda 21. Barack Obama signed that in the law with the United Nations. Anybody know what Agenda 21 means? It means the population of the world will be decreased by 95% by the year 2030. Does that make your day? That means they're going to tell Ed, we're going to have to let you go, buddy.
They've already told me that.
Yeah, they're going to say, you know, we're going to cut you down. You know, you're covering. It's for the earth's sake. I don't know if y'all know this or not. But to save the earth, for the betterment of the earth, you better watch this new Green Deal. Mm-hmm. You better watch this save the planet. You know why? 95% of the population of the world is at stake.
Yeah.
See, they say, you're causing all the problems of this global warming. You're causing all the problems. Y'all getting this?
Yeah.
This registering with you at all? See what I mean?
Yeah.
Righteousness exalts a nation, but sin's a reproach to any people. When the righteous are in authority, the people rejoice.
Yeah.
But when the wicked bear rule, the people mourn. It ain't going to be no fun. You know they got guillotines right now? Down in Georgia? You know why? You can kill someone faster with a guillotine than you can with a gun, a machete, or anything else. It's the fastest way.
Mm.
Our government has bought, I forgot how many, something like 30 million guillotines.
Mm.
They're in stores right now. They're there. Look it up. They're there. Why are they there? Somebody's tending to use them, Sharon.
Mm-hmm.
Now look. One day they may slap my head in there and cut it off. All I got to say is I couldn't do nothing with it anyway. Help yourself. I don't want to go another, but I'll tell you what, help you better than this one, amen. 95%. What was that ALC said? We only got 12 years?
Yeah.
That ain't right, man.
No.
That's 2032, ain't it? They said by 2030. Agenda 21, you better open your eyes a little bit.
Yeah.
I got to shut down there. Agenda 21 states that the world population
will be decreased by 95% for the sake of the earth. I'm glad my God didn't like that.
Amen.
He said he formed the earth to be inhabited. Said he put man on it. Look, hey, I ain't floating away. I'm not in an igloo. Here comes the whole busload of praise offerings. All right. Let's get this last verse in. The king's favor is toward a wise servant, but his wrath is against him that causes shame. That's why we got laws. And that's why we need to abide by them. And we'll stop right there. That was almost preaching. Hey, Sarah. You brought a whole busload with you, didn't you?
And some noise, too.
That's all right. We're glad to have them. Amen.